Baseball legend Ty Cobb of the Detroit Tigers was the first player elected to the Hall of Fame. He played in Detroit from 1905 to 1926 and then two more seasons in Philadelphia. His career batting average of .367 produced 4,191 hits and 12 batting titles. Cobb had a well-documented reputation as a tenacious competitor as well for being just a nasty man, hot-tempered and a man who hated, in the words of ESPN's Larry Schwartz, Northerners, Catholics, blacks, and apparently anybody else who was different from him. Ty Cobb was a terrible father, too, when his son Herschel became a violent drunk. Now, Ty Cobb's grandson, Herschel Cobb Jr., has written a book about his grandfather that shows a different side of the Georgia peach, that of a man who recognized his shortcomings in time to become a doting, affectionate, and protective grandfather. It's called Heart of a Tiger, Growing Up with My Grandfather Ty Cobb. In a phone interview from his home in California, Herschel Cobb says he saw another side to his grandfather.
He was caring, he was protective, he had wisdom. He was a very, very confident fellow. He was not a braggart or a boaster when I was around him. And altogether, I enjoyed spending a lot of time with him. So it kind of emanated out of that direction.
In an interview about retiring from the game, your granddad, Ty Cobb, seemed gracious to fans while looking forward to spending time away from people and more time, notably, with a dog, who he refers to in this soundbite at his retirement. Let's listen.
This old friend of mine here, he's a dog, it's true, but he's a great friend. Now, he won't boo me, and he won't criticize me. But I do want to say this. I'm not finding any fault with the fans or anyone, because I feel deeply obligated to everyone for all the kindnesses and all the nice things they've done and they've said about me in my career as a ball player.
So is that remark more indicative of the Ty Cobb that you knew?
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard that. I know that he had a great fondness for his hunting dogs, and I also know that he had a great respect for the fans and actually many, many teammates. You know, in the course of putting together my book, I was asked many, many questions by many people. You know, if you're an author, you look around for an agent who will take on a project and say, oh, I think you have something here. During the course of this, you know, now we have access to the internet. You can find out what contemporaries actually think of their fellow ballplayers. And I was fortunate enough to chance upon an entire section of quotes from other ballplayers regarding Ty Cobb, his ferocity on the base paths and on the field, but his gentlemanly acts and manner off of the field, repeated by dozens of contemporaries. I mean, you have Babe Ruth and George Sisler and Honus Wagner, and the list goes on and on. And I think all those fellows were very respectful of each other's skills. I know that my grandfather had a great respect for Babe Ruth. He had a great respect for Tris Speaker, and spent a lot of time with Mr. Speaker. I actually thought Mr. Speaker was the best center fielder of all time and was a great ball player. So in many ways, his expression of gratitude to the fans and other players is very genuine. And all of his life, you know, he loved baseball. That was his life. He played competitively and intensely for 24 years. I did not see him play. I did not learn of the extent of his exploits until I was 12 and a half, going on 13, and even then it was not direct description. It was more a series of actions in his study, answering the mail of fans asking for an autographed baseball or an action picture and seeing his response, which was very generous. I don't think anybody that I've ever met who asked him for an autograph was ever refused. In fact, I would tell you, you know, I live in Menlo Park, California, which is near Atherton, where Ty Cobb's house is. And an old fellow came up to me and he says, Herschel, I want to talk to you. I haven't seen you in ages. And I said, okay, what is it? He says, I just remembered last month I was out and I wanted an autographed baseball, or I wanted an autograph of Ty Cobb. So I took a napkin over to his table. I saw him at a restaurant. And he took my hand, and we got into his car, and we drove to his house over on Spencer Lane. He took me inside, and he grabbed one of the baseballs out of his big barrel, and he autographed it to me and dated it and handed it to me and said to me, "Will this do?" This guy was so happy to relate that story, but that was more typical of the grandfather Ty Cobb that I knew.
In your book, you describe both of your parents as heavy drinkers. You write that you feared your father's explosive temper. What do you make of your granddad's apparent attempts to shield you from your dad?
Well, you know, I think that my grandfather sensed the element in my father that had the term bully in it. Nowadays, there's a very, very low threshold. And in those days, you know, I lived through it. I had a lot to deal with growing up with respect to having friends who were guys and trusting them. I had a lot to deal with growing up and having friends who were females and trusting them. But I think that my grandfather was estranged from both of his sons that died early. My father died when he was 33, and my Uncle Ty died when he was 42. And I think it was the same qualities of intensity and fierce competitiveness that propelled him to the top of baseball that created that schism with his sons. And I think that that had ramifications, that by the time that my dad was 30 and 31 and 32, Ty Cobb couldn't do anything about. And I think it made him sad, and I think that he saw that his grandchildren were going to suffer. But there again, he's Southern, and Southern people don't interfere in the parenting of other people's children. So long as my mother was involved, my father was involved, my grandfather wasn't going to take it upon himself to interfere to a great extent unless the opportunity arose. It did arise when we went hunting on the Snake River in 1949. I was very, very thankful because that whole incident scared me deeply, as perhaps it would with any young man who sees their father so intimidating and so bullying.
What do you feel you lost when your granddad died?
Well, that was a lot. He was a neat guy to be around. He was a great grandfather to be around. You know, a guy who could laugh out loud, make fun of himself. And he had the confidence and the wherewithal to make a difference in what he set his mind to. You know, some of the stories in the book are light and funny, but they were there intentionally to portray to my children that they had a great grandfather who had a sense of humor, a sense of teasing, but a sense of, like, he's not going to tease hard enough so that if you don't get the joke, you're going to suffer. No, you know, you were taken care of, and he knew how to make fun of himself. I lost a protector. I lost a confidant. I lost somebody that you could go someplace with, and he always had a straight back and held his head high. And he was always there with a big hand. He had a big fist, and he was always there with a hand on my shoulder, or when I was a little kid, you know, it was hanging down, I could grab a hold of it and know that fellow I could trust. And I think that was the main thing that I felt that I lost. But I built upon it. I built upon what time I had with him to construct something different in my own life.
How old were you when he died?
I was 18. I was just getting set to go to college. I describe it in the book a little bit where I lived in a small town in California and had applied to colleges on my own. My mother had made it really, really clear to me that she thought that the local JC junior college was good enough for me. She wasn't going to pay for a private college or to send me off. And it happened to be that summer my grandfather died. And, you know, he made provisions for me to go to college. And I was very, very thankful.
Tell us about the reaction you've gotten since publishing Heart of a Tiger. Do people seem open to the idea that Ty Cobb had a softer side?
Well, the people who talk to me about it, yes. I'm certain that there are people who would say, wow, I never suspected that. I've read stories. But, you know, in all truthfulness, I didn't write the book to push back on those stories. I mean, I've read about those stories, and people are going to really believe what they want to believe. Al Stump took many, many of those stories and exaggerated them to create a character that he wanted to put into a movie that would be monetarily very, very beneficial to him. I mean, really, the book Cobb, the whole first chapter, is like, wow, this guy must have been really, really something. Well, Mr. Bayshore, in reality, Ty Cobb, when that first chapter is supposed to have taken place at Lake Tahoe, was 73 years old. He was within 9 months of dying of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, liver problems. He used a cane to walk. He had refused for several years to drive his own car any distances at all. And Stump misdescribes the cabin at Lake Tahoe. He misdescribes several features about the cabin that would make it impossible to visit in the wintertime because it's on a very, very downslope toward Lake Tahoe. So once you drive your car down there, you can't get out. In other words, I don't think it really happened. But if I meet somebody who wants to say, wow, that was quite a movie, I'm not going to argue. They can believe what they want to believe. Once urban myth is established, I don't think that people go out of their way to say, well, maybe that's a little bit exaggerated. But Stump did a lot to craft the person that he wanted to present, and I don't think that that was a very accurate portrayal of Ty Cobb, either as a historical figure or as a person. But my book was really intended to say something else. I mean, most people come up and say, Herschel, that I read that book, you had a tough childhood, but the parts about your grandfather were fascinating. Let me tell you about my grandparents. And it's been wonderful because their outpouring is just very, very generous. And I've heard several stories that have grandparents that were really personally much more interesting than anything that I wrote. And their stories are fascinating. And it's been a great way to get to know people in a way that really transcends cocktail conversation or lunchtime conversation and really means something to me and to them.
Herschel Cobb Jr. is the author of Heart of a Tiger, Growing Up with My Grandfather, Ty Cobb. Thank you, Mr. Cobb. Good luck.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.